brought to you by the Fetzer Institute, helping to build a spiritual foundation for a loving world. Welcome, everybody, to Wonder and Awe, A Journey into the Soul. I'm just so happy to have Snow Raven here. She was born in one of the most remote and cold places in the world, in the Republic of Sakha, which is in the Arctic Siberia. She was only 3 years old when she started to learn the language of birds and animals. Her voice takes her breath from traditional Sakha culture and is truly a beautiful instrument. She is the OG of Arctic Beatbox, the reindeer breath, and the founder of Olax Dao, of Many Believes, Common Truth. First of all, I'm just thrilled to be able to talk to you. I know you're in Vegas. I know you're on the road. You're recording an album. But to our listeners, just tell me who you are.
Thank you, Louis, for having me. And I'm so grateful to be connected with you in person, personally, and with your community, because I'm a big fan of Fantastic Fungi and all of the art you have done. And my name is Snow Raven Swor. That name was given by shaman woman back in my homeland. I'm from Arctic Siberia, the place called Republic of Sakha Yakutia. If you look at it in the map, it's very close to North Pole. It's the Arctic Circle, and it's the largest region in Russia and the most cold inhabited area in the world, where the winters can go to minus 96 by Fahrenheit. So I was born and I grew up there in a small village with 300 people. It's called Uskule. And I left my nest when I was 23, and here I am. I did the long journey to come to the United States and bring music, and through the music, some messages and knowledge and wisdom of my ancestors.
That's incredible. I mean, growing up, like, you know, in Arctic Siberia, I mean, how do you think that influenced the music that you create?
I started to sing when I was 3 years old. My grandmother taught me how to sing traditional songs. And, you know, when you learn traditional songs, specifically Ohohai and Toyuk, you are able to participate in the summer solstice ceremonies. And we believe in shamanism. Sakha shamanism is Oyunahan. And the word shaman come from the Tungus culture, from the nomadic reindeer herders. And we all live together. So it came from Arctic Siberia. And that culture is just in my blood. And all the traditional songs, all the singing techniques, mimicking birds and animal sounds, they're all came to me since I was a little kid. And today, I bring those singing techniques and I invite my ancestors in my music. So I sing about, I would say I sing by inviting my ancestors. I empty myself. And that impacted a lot, like growing up in Arctic Siberia, being in very survival, harsh weather conditions. It impacted me so much. And the perception of the life in general, and also specifically coming to the Western culture, Western side of the world, it's just very fascinating. It's completely different. I can compare with my world and this world.
And I think it's incredible because you're also heavily involved in technology. You know, recording music is digital technology. Putting on a show is digital technology that's a super high end. So I really admire your ability to have crossed over 100% and beyond in the Western world, but still have these beautiful roots in the Eastern world. And so just fascinated how you're able to then, as you say, transcend that energy from your ancestors, from nature, from the forest, from the animals, into you know, touching our souls. So I hope during this conversation at some point, you're going to let us hear some of the beautiful music, the animal sounds that you've been able to miraculously, I think, you know, incorporate into your body and into your spirit.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, it's it's been a long journey, and it's going to be a long journey, probably my whole lifetime. So the technology, technology for me, it already exists in the nature. It's already, if we observe very carefully, and then your food, your film, right? Your art also embodies that. It shows how the Mother Nature created this very well designed the whole world that we're living in. And every time when I go for hike or I stay alone with the nature, even inside of the house, in this boxed houses, I feel the vibration coming from underneath of cement, and it's the whole Mother Earth, you know, just being there. We are, even in the cities, we are on in the nature. And all of this technology thriving, I would say like AI or virtual realities, all of these metaverses, all of this excitement around, you know, innovations in internet, I think it's all try to mimic what already exists in the world, which already provided by nature and even more by the whole universe. Because according to Saka shamanism, we believe in multiverse and we believe that it's infinite. It's everything and nothing all at once.
And that's kind of where, if you talk to like scientists, you know, the Big Bang and what is time? I mean, you know, they'll say that, you know, everything is really just in the moment, that, you know, being in the present moment is all they can really, I think, figure out as we go through time and scale. And if you talk to spiritual people, you know, you come up with the same answer too. The whole idea of being mindful, the whole idea of becoming present, the whole idea of then, you know, tapping into the divine is also obviously what you and your ancestral and your culture does, you know, through the portal of nature to travel, to become present, to become, you know, grateful for what you are in that vibration, to connect Mother Earth, all that stuff, right? These are just words, but it's to connect with the vibration. So, and you feel it. And the whole, like I say, even going back to science, they'll tell you everything is a vibration. Everything's a wavelength, you know? So, tell me about, you mentioned it, like, I think you are a shaman, right?
So I don't call myself as a shaman.
Okay.
Because I know who are the shamans in traditional way. I grew up listening to a lot of stories from the elders. And also I met the shamans. And I know that how the shamanism transformed throughout the whole, you know, history that impacted to my culture. I would say it started, you know, in the 17th centuries. Russians discovered our land for the first time. And it was the first time when there was a change, impact. And there were some baptizing, and then Christianity came, Orthodox Christianity. Then the second huge wave that impacted to shamanism was a Soviet Union, and specifically starting from 1930s, there were some oppressions of the shamans. They were put into jail, and their drums and their regalias were burned. So it was huge, but the whole healing, the whole culture, the phenomenon of the shamanism stayed in the heart of people, and shamans were secretly healing people, and that's how it survived. And today it's thriving and it's coming up, coming out to the world with an interesting form, in a very interesting form, which is adopted in the modern, you know, society. And a lot of young people are coming out too. And it's just makes me to wonder and have this notion of awe, you know, like sense of awe all the time, like to see how the life is impermanent. It's just constantly changing. But what is the truth and we don't know what is the truth, but it just stays for a long time. It changes a little bit, it changes a little slowly, but it survives for many centuries. And I had a privilege and honor to meet one of the powerful shamans in my culture. His name is Save. He is the 12th sky shaman who can even connect to extraterrestrials, who can heal people, who can work with the weather conditions, and who can do special ceremonies. So I received permission to play drum because in my culture, we're not allowed to play drum without permission of the spirits. So he connected to the spirits and he heard my request and he said that I can sing. And since that time, I was just playing drum and falling into this transcendental state, like ecstatic, altering state, where I completely empty myself and my soul. You know, it's like an out-of-body effect. Every time when I sing, I feel that my totem animals come and help me, or my ancestors come in. I just travel between the dimensions. And what is very important is while you are in that state, you just receive a lot of insights that might be helpful for the community and for yourself. So that's very important for me. It's not only traveling and journeying and getting lost in dimensions. It's very important to receive an information and bring it to the world. And it's very important that it's useful. Yeah. So I don't call myself a shaman, but some people recognize some of the shamanic energies flowing around when I sing. Some people come to me with the tears and say that I healed. But honestly, I believe that we are the best healers for ourselves. I'm just guiding them, or I'm just inspiring them to heal themselves. I'm not a healer. So I usually say that. It's just being curious and staying inspired and having this sense of inner child wondering just makes me to perceive this world in a very beautiful way.
Well, that's like the title of this podcast. It's called Wonder, A Journey into the Soul. And you just landed.
Yes.
And you landed on it. You just said, well, that's the ultimate thing. You know, the entire journey from your ancestral practices, you know, of tapping into the spiritual divine, the sadness of understanding how, you know, the Soviet Union oppressed all of that. But what I find fascinating is it's reemerging in you, reemerging in a younger generation that happens to also be in touch with Western civilization and gives you perhaps more pathways and portals to transmit that energy, right? I mean, but with your music and with your voice, I think it's evolution from a cultural and spiritual way. That here you are doing what you're doing. So will you honor us so people can like hear how you've, I think, you know, incorporated the sounds of nature so eloquently in your voice?
Thank you so much for inviting me to share some traditional song. And I would like to say something before that. I see the art, music, dancing, like art in general, as a form of healing tool that we all have already inside. It's all encoded in us. So us being as a human being, we are like a device, like our body is constantly receiving the data from web of life. And the music, specifically singing, for me, it's an expression. Like when you energy received, we need to give it. So we need to make it flow. And that's why in a shamanism, you can see all the shamans, they always have either percussion or drum, or they sing or they hum. So it's always, there's a sound. And the sound is, as you said, vibration. It's one of the fundamental energies. And it also exists in some realm. We actually believe that there are infinite realms and more sophisticated than quantum physics. And it just goes on and on. Right there to them, towards the microcosmos and towards the macrocosmos, and they meet with each other, and it's in a constant circle. So I would love to share the improvisational composition called The Birth of the Universe, playing by Mathharp. You're probably familiar with that very special instrument. It's very small. And I usually wear it as a necklace, and wherever I am, you know, under the tree, somewhere in the nature, or I'm the guest, some event, you know, somebody's birthday or dinner, I just take it out and play. And this becomes an extension of my body because I put it on my teeth. I'm going to show it to you. So I put it on the teeth, right? And I feel the whole vibration in my skeleton, in my bones, because the teeth are part of the bones. And I hope that you will receive and you'll feel that vibration through this digital technology, through the ones and zeros. And you're going to hear the raw sound of the voice and the mouth harp. And so I would love to share with you The Birth of the Universe. Yeah.
Wow. Wow, thank you. What a journey. Wow, were all those vibrations rearranging the molecules inside my brain? You mean for healing? I mean, I've read that there are certain vibrations in ancient sacred music that we don't hear anymore with the music and technology of today. These harmonics and these vibrations, were sacred and were used to heal as medicine.
That's very interesting to look at it, that we don't hear it anymore. That's I never thought about that. A lot of vibrations, they might be dormant unless we bring them back, right?
Which is what you're doing big time, which I really love. I mean, you're like a conduit, past to future. I mean, you were just doing it, right? Ancient vibrations going out through digital technology, being recorded on a streaming platform to thousands, if not millions of people. I mean, that is mind-blowing.
Yeah, it is. Humanity created all of this, invented all of these devices as a part of the science. And I think science always tries to prove or disprove mystery or spirituality. And spirituality is just endless. And the science has own limits because it came up out from our the human brain, our in a mind. And I'm fascinated from both. And I truly believe that this is the time when there's a bridging, there's a merging happening between science and spirituality, science and mystery. That's why this the whole Olox ecosystem that I'm working on, which incorporates, blockchain, where the indigenous people can claim their sovereignty, and also bridging indigenous culture and the Western culture, bring the forgiveness and healing, doing the healing work, just creating safe platform where we can hear the people's voice. Every single person's perception of the life is so unique. And for me, it's a dream. It's my biggest dream to count all of them. And everybody, like 8 billion people, come together and contribute their vision about what is the God, what is the death, what is the life, what is the love. And we would love to invite all the religions, all the beliefs, every single person who are going to join our community to bring and contribute their perception of the life. And then even, you know, like this technology, the AI can, you know, collect that data and create the whole multiverse or book, electronic book, or multiverse as a metaverse, and create what is the common truth. We want to equally respect and invite all the people's perception. And is it possible? I think with the innovations and technology that we are bringing today, slowly, slowly possible. But I always keep in my mind and in my heart that the best technology, it's us. It's already here. And we just need to awaken it. And sense of wonder, for me, it's being like there are certain English words that unfortunately sometimes can't embody fully because there's a language barrier, right? For example, in Saka language, there are words that I can't describe with English, but I feel and experience that. And for me, the word attention, it's an amazing tool. When you put your attention in a specific object, all of a sudden, the whole portal opens up. Intuition, it's how we are processing the data coming from the web of life and then listening to that and following that. Attention, intuition, and also sense of wonder. Wondering, it's for me, is just the expanding. It's the one of the great technologies that we have inside. It just expands your consciousness into infinite realms through all multiverses. And it just goes from you this way and it comes back to you. I love the way we have, you know, all of this English words, but there are so many things that we are going to discover, maybe rethinking, maybe rediscovering and experiencing those words fully with our bodies. And it will open up absolutely new realms. So I'm very curious about that.
I love it. I mean, you wonder, it's for me, you know, that divine moment when there's no past or present, you're in the moment, and you have no preconceived ideas, you know, you're like a child, and you're able to, like, as you say, have attention, like total observation. I'm observing you with a blank slate. You know, I don't say I know you're a rose. I don't know that you're red. All I know is what I'm feeling, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't have to put names on you to figure out who you are, what you are. That to me is like really being in the moment. So focusing on the emotion that you're feeling. And then you dive deeper into why do you feel that way?
Right.
You know what I mean? That's what wonder is really about. It's like, okay, I'm curious. Wonder, curiosity, same thing. Why does that color make my heart feel this way? You know? Why does that sound of the bird take me into that, you know, direction of awareness? It's, you know, to me, that's kind of like the ultimate.
Yeah. And then I think that is going to be infinitely, I would say, like remaining undiscovered fully. And that's the magic of that.
But and so therefore, what is all of that? So we get to the edge. And again, mm-hmm. if you put on again the Western analytical civilized mind to go, what the WTF, what is all that? Where am I standing right now? And the answer could be, and maybe is, it's a mystery. Mm-hmm. And can you just embrace that? Because you get to the edge of this incredible divine bliss of like, oh my God, you know, like the wonder of it all, the rapture of it all, feeling, you know, one with it all. You lose your fear of dying. You know, you become completely immersed in your environment. And then You don't have to maybe ask that giant question, well, what is that? What is God? You know, like, what is all this stuff? I mean, maybe you just have to accept the fact that you're never going to know for sure, and that's beautiful.
Yeah, so it's been always like that, the whole runes, petroglyphs, and written books, and then today it's the internet, everything digitalized, and then it's going to be even more fascinating with quantum computers and with the metaverses, multiverses. So we're going really deep down with the science, but I think here is the most interesting thing is it just remains mysteriously. Just we are trying to catch the experience and write it down and memorize it. So it's all memory, right? But the experiencing the present time, it's the most precious for me. And you can't catch it. You can't write it down. There are no words to describe it, in my opinion. It's just the simply, you know, surrendering to the momentum, to the present time, and wondering, staying constantly in that state. And then also, I've been catching myself being in a different state, being in a different moods, and you know, according to Sakya shamanism, we have three worlds: lower, middle, and higher. And I think we talked about that before with the gratitude. Remember a short conversation with the gratitude movie. And so the lower world is a representation of fear-based, like animal, very survival energy. And question, how are we going to elevate that towards the heart? And the middle world is all tangible world, where there's love. And then the tangible world, physical world, should be surrendering to the love and guided by the love. Then we can live here more healthy way, I would say. And
more
then
in harmony, like in harmony.
Yeah, more in harmony, in balance. And then we elevated even farther more through the gratitude to the higher, to the upper world. And all of these three worlds, we don't deny lower world, or we don't say it's evil. It's more like seeing it as a part of the whole cycle. And it's like a dancing between and in those three worlds, the lower fear, kuttal in Sakya, the middle, love, taptal, and then the upper world, gratitude, which is mahtal. Kuttal, taptal, mahtal, they're all come together. And with that said, I would like to dedicate one song with your permission for these three worlds. Mm-hmm. And you might also experience those vibrations. I'm going to do here the lower world sound, and people usually say, oh, this is scary. But it's actually the reindeer from Arctic Circle, from tundra. They breathe that way. And I play around, and I call it as a Arctic beatbox. So it sounds like it's inhale and exhale, like a sort of throat singing, but very groovy. Mm-hmm. So I would like to invite you to take a short journey with me through the vibration, through the three worlds with the vibration.
Love
coming
it.
From human voice. All right. Mama,
Amma. Amma.
Mm-hmm.
Erdigaya hakir datis tesra kar bu ortada iduga larada iduga yuheda iduga ki harabola nulatan teren yesken ayılar budettan içiler bititten gördühen bari edem nahtik bu ortada iduga bir samag bolamet algıstanan arangaçılanan arçılanan olur vakka. Dom, dom, domini dom.
That's so beautiful. Can you share what that end blessing means in English?
Yeah, it's in Saka language. We call it algus. It's a prayer. And algus, it's usually comes with the person who gives the prayer while it just comes like information. Again, it's circulating data. And there are canonized certain traditional forms of algus, but most of it, it's improvisation. It's a self-expression. It's expression of sense of wonder again. And usually in my culture, it's dependent on the occasion or the situation. In this case, guided you through the three worlds, lower, middle, and higher, I literally said about, let's, you know, bring all of these three worlds, upper, middle, and higher, into balance. Let's all sing and dance together. And let's all call all of our deities, gods, or spirits, whoever we believe in, and our ancestors to dance and sing with us in that great divine dance of the universe. And so that's basically, I try to explain it in English, there are no words to describe when I sing or dance. And I'm sure when everybody who is listening to here, you know, we all have that amazing, powerful skill to sing, to bring the vibration, to create that vibration and let it flow in the space. So I just encourage everybody to sing no matter what, no matter, you know, I believe that everyone can sing actually, but in own unique way. So keep singing, keep dancing, keep painting and playing instruments and keep being in this constant sense of wonder.
Amen. I totally am on board with that. You know, no matter what if you can't do it all the time, even if you do it some of the time, it takes you out of that spiral of, you know, ruminating about all the negative stuff and things you got to do and all that stuff that is a giant distraction, like the news and whatever. But you can go there. It's like you said, it's inside of you. So having that sense of wonder, having that idea of gratitude where I'm grateful for anything that's in front of me, that I'm breathing, I'm drinking, I'm eating, I'm here. There's always something you can immediately be grateful for. And I'm so grateful for you to be on this podcast with us, to be a conduit of this beautiful, sacred, you know, spiritual communication of nature's energy. I don't know how else to say it, but that is, you know, filled with wisdom that goes back billions of years. And to be able to feel that vibration through you, because you are a part of nature, and you're just like sharing that, you know, a beautiful artistic emotional vibration with all of us. So it's a miracle. So grateful, and the grateful we can share it with our community and all the people that are also edge runners, that are like, you know, change makers that want to be on the edge, that are explorers, that are pushing the envelope like you described, take it all the way, you know, right? And experience life to the fullest so that life can flourish.
Exactly. Well said. Okay. Thank you so much, Louis. Yeah, so the discussion about the mushrooms, it's very interesting. There are actually three tribes among the 30, like over, we have a lot of in shamanic tribes in Arctic Siberia, over 30. And three of them, they use Amanita muscaria, Itelmen, Chukchi, and Koryak. In my culture, Saka shamanism, we don't have a psychedelic sacrament or mushroom, but they grow. And we believe in natural psychedelic state of consciousness, which is all in us. It's, again, this is something about being, you know, it's just a human experience. It's very natural. And then what happens to future shamans, it's usually etteni, process of etteni, which is rite of passage, dependent on how powerful the future shaman is going to be, how powerful the future shaman is going to be. The etteni, which is the shamanic sickness, can be really devastating, can be really, really dangerous even for the 12 sky shamans, because they are the highest, the most powerful shamans. And what usually, how does it look like? I'm going to bring a little bit, explain it with the Western terminology, where we don't give diagnosis or we don't label people like that. So it's very similar to the symptoms of schizophrenia or epilepsy or losing consciousness, memory, being, you know, having seizures and episodes. So in that case, it's very important to have family to support. And in traditionally in my culture, they ask the elder shaman, come and take a look and say, is this child or teenager, usually it kicks in when it's around 14, like a 10 years old. Every 7 years, there's some changes happening. And it, you know, the shamans, the future shamans who have a blood straight lineage, and also they have to be chosen by the spirits, which means that sickness, that when the spirits choose you, you don't have any other option, no choice, you just surrender. And there have been a lot of shamans who couldn't surrender, and then the environment, you know, wasn't welcoming them. Families couldn't understand, or the society couldn't accept that. And they ended up being, you know, alcoholic, or ended up at the hospital, specific hospitals, or even being suicidal because they were not accepted by the environment, by the society, by the matrix, right? But it's a nature, human nature. And you can see that all over the world. And maybe, you know, who knows, maybe we have those people, the indigo gifted people among us in the Western culture, I mean, around the world. And the whole, you know, psychiatry, the whole, this system is just brings, you know, just bring the pharmaceutical drugs, but there are alternative ways that have been traditionally kept in my culture specifically, right? And then I think psychedelics, the sacraments, I'm talking about specifically what nature, Mother Nature created, not the synthetic ones, laboratory born and raised, but what Mother Nature gave us, this such a gift. And then And I think it might be really helpful for the modern society. And again, all of this hype and trend about psychedelics, it can be also the other side. It might be also dangerous. That's why we have to learn how to deal with that, how to deal with that spirit entering to our society. and being respectful and bringing reciprocity to the cultures who were keeping those sacraments for 1,000 years. It's very important today for us to recognize that and do a lot of work. We're just experimenting. The whole, you know, journey is like an experiment. But I believe in sacraments that they can help under very precise guidance of the shamans or trained therapists. Again, it's emerging, right? It's emerging. You know, modern society understood that there's more than just the physical world, and this is all coming together. And that's why I'm very, very fascinated about, and again, having a sense of wonder where it is going to lead us.
I think, if nothing else, it does really prove that there is something more than the quote-unquote physical world. And, you know, we dream, obviously. And if psychedelics or sacred plants and medicines can help us just get a peek of that, you know, just to kind of balance you out, to harmonize you a little bit, that not everything is linear, you know, drive your car, go to work, get a paycheck. That's one form of reality. But there's also, you know, being able to take a moment to breathe and just really ponder what is the universe? Who are we? Who am I? You know, am I really living to my full potential? You know, mm-hmm. am I giving of service to what I am as a unique, talented gift to the world? We all are, you know, and am I really, have I figured out what my true, not only gift is, but path to sharing it, you know? So, if, you know, so I agree. I think that if sacred plants and medicines can give you a glimpse into that, you know, then you have the responsibility to do the work. Then you got to go out and actually make it happen. You can't just have a beautiful aha moment and dream about it. That one of the responsibilities of wisdom it's a burden, because then you got to go out and make and heal the world in a way. You know, you can't just be a happy for me. I get it. You have to go make sure that eliminate suffering wherever you can.
Yeah. It's the whole, I feel it that way, that the whole, you know, world is right now awakening. And then we're going through that purging process, like through the lower world, that is very similar to rite of passage of the shamans in my culture. Not denying the pain and suffering, but actually accepting it and transforming it and elevating it towards the middle and the higher. Then I think it's the big, 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 long cycle that we're going through. And so I feel that we're all in the first step of recognizing it and kind of awakening, coming out from our little rooms. And yeah, I feel it that way.
You're helping really illuminate that. So thank you so much, you know, for, you know, diving in this conversation, exploring the beauty of wonder and the soul, and to be able to, you know, ignite that spark in all of us. We all have it.
Yes, let's stay in touch. I'm on the social medias, Instagram as a Snorri Even official. Thank you so much. Yeah, see you somewhere in the space. And I'm very, very grateful for being here with you, with your community.
Thank you. I want to thank my team at Moving Art for helping us, you know, coordinate all this and record it. Courtney, Annie, Sam, Sarah, really appreciate it. And to our community and to the Fetzer Institute for giving us support. May the spores and the Arctic mushrooms be with you.